Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. So, Father, we thank you for your presence here today, your spirit, Lord. And, Lord, you know the need of every heart. And, Lord, my prayer request with the rest of the saints here is that you would meet the need of every heart, whatever it is. Lord, regardless of what I say, the Holy Spirit, Lord, can deliver exactly what's needed. But, Lord, thank you for speaking through me. Lord, how we love you, how we praise you, how we exalt you. So, Lord, we thank you for ears to hear and eyes to see what you would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Merry Christmas, and we are on, part two of the birth of Jesus. And if you were here last week, it felt like we were picking on Zechariah a little bit, right? Because Zechariah had a visitation when he was burning incense at the altar, and he sees an angel, right? He sees Gabriel, an angel Gabriel, and he says, "Hey, you and your wife are going to have a child." It was John the Baptist. And his response, Zechariah, was, "Man, I need to see a sign. How do I know this is going to happen? There's Gabriel. Who knows how big this angel is?" And he's saying, "That's not enough." And so I was thinking about just have a little fun this morning, because just a little bit visiting last week, he couldn't speak for 9 months, right? And I was thinking of things just to have fun. You know, his wife, let's say that Zechariah didn't like leg of lamb, but his wife did. And, you know, he can't speak for 9 months. And she would say, his wife would say, "Hey, you know, are you okay if we had leg of lamb tonight?" And he's like, he can't say anything. I'll take that as a yes. I'll take that as a yes. And she says, "Hey, Zechariah, you don't mind if my family comes and visits for a couple of weeks, do you?" "Oh, I didn't think you would mind." But then again, I thought about where she would say, "Zechariah, whose sandals are here in the middle of the floor?" And he goes. So could you imagine not being able to speak for 9 months? And we talked about how it was because he didn't believe, right? But of course, when John the Baptist was born, and they said, "What's his name going to be?" His mouth is able to open. He said, "His name is going to be John." So it didn't last forever. And so now we're going to take off for a second part of this. And third week, next Christmas Eve, when we have our candlelight service, we'll talk about the actual birth of Jesus. So this last week, talking about Zechariah and her interaction with the angel Gabriel. And I want to talk this week with Mary, the Virgin Mary, and her interaction with Gabriel and how it was different. And as I began to study and pray about it, well, you'll see, I started thinking about the interaction that Gabriel had with Mary, and how it's very because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for you and I, amen. What he did is being given his life for our sins, being raised from the dead on the third day, at the right hand of the Father, and coming again. Because of what he accomplished, I saw a lot of similarities of what was said to Mary to what God through the Holy Spirit says to you and I this very morning. And so let me read, start at Luke. We're going to continue on now that we're past Zechariah and Elizabeth's part in Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to start with the second part of Luke chapter 1, verse 26, with Gabriel's interaction with Mary. So verse 26, start out, if you're following me, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I'll just take a second. Anymore, I have a digital Bible. Is that okay to have a digital Bible? I mean, some people say that's not okay, but I enjoy it, but nothing wrong with the paper Bible, right? Flip through and you got margins, and you can have notes in it. But I have a digital Bible, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is in the New American Standard. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, that's Gabriel, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most Holy will overshadow you. For that reason, also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So Mary questioned God and was told very specifically she would be giving birth to a son as a virgin. So she didn't say, "Hi, I've got to have a son," or "I've got to have a sign." She was saying, "How is this possible? I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How am I going to have a child?" You see, Zechariah was told that he and his wife would experience the improbable. They would have to contribute, though, wouldn't they? I mean, they would have to have the intimacy of marriage to have this child. Zechariah, looking at the natural, so he was saying, "What sign will I have to prove this?" Mary, on the other hand, was told if she would believe, she would experience the impossible. Zechariah said you would experience the improbable, but Mary said you would experience the impossible. So Mary would simply have to believe. There was going to be no action on Mary's part. Do you realize that? No action. She was going to have to believe that what Gabriel told her, something that has never happened and since the beginning of mankind and never has happened since then, that without being a virgin, she was going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. Amen? She knew she could not make this happen on her own. There was nothing she could do to contribute to this. As she was betrothed to Joseph, she was not married to him yet. And she was saying, "How will this happen?" And she was told the Holy Spirit would come upon her. So Zechariah knew his efforts would have to be the catalyst, right? All the years of marriage to his wife could not produce this miracle child to come, John. But he was still going to have to contribute. Mary knew her efforts could not get the job done. So she responds this way, "Behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word." See, John the Baptist pointed to righteousness. We were just a little bit about what Jesus would do. John the Baptist pointed to righteousness. Jesus brought righteousness. Hallelujah. John said, "I baptize with water," but even John said, "One comes after me who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire." How many people here have the fire of the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. I don't know about you, but I do. You may not see it on the outside, but in the inside of my heart, in my spirit, man, there is a fire burning bright. God's desire for all of us, us that know him, and even those that don't know him yet, let me say it that way, is that the power, the fire of the Holy Spirit would burn bright from within you. Because even John the Baptist said, "Hey, I can baptize you with water. And even I can baptize you with water, saints, but I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. I can't fill you with the fire of God, but he can." Just like Mary said, "I can't make this miracle happen about being to be carrying the Son of God." She believed that she would conceive a son by the power of the Holy Spirit and give birth to Jesus. So John's birth was improbable. Jesus' birth was impossible. Zechariah could not believe the unlikely. Mary believed the inconceivable. In this account with Mary and the miracle virgin birth of Jesus, I saw this for this message today. Let me see if I can get it out. What God accomplished supernaturally in bringing about a miracle birth in the natural, to the natural, Jesus meaning without the contribution of a man, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So what God accomplished supernaturally in bringing about a miracle birth to the natural, because of what Jesus would go on to accomplish in the flesh, now God can take a natural birth that you and I and bring forth a supernatural rebirth. We're going to talk about that supernatural rebirth. It was a miracle that Jesus was born. Amen? As we talk about, it's a miracle today that you've been reborn by the Holy Spirit. Did you know it's, as we talk about it, think of it, it's almost as great as a miracle. You being born again, me being born again, you know what kind of miracle that is? How is that possible? We'll read about that account. So this morning I would want to say first, do you believe in miracles? You better. Let this morning's message for a reminder of miracles and the supernatural. Supernatural in the dictionary, by the way, just relating to being above or beyond what is natural. Unexplainable by natural law or phenomena, abnormal. Did you know that you're abnormal this morning? You better just get used to it. If you're trying to be normal, I'm sorry, you're supernatural. You're abnormal. You're abnormal. And it's time for the church in America to be comfortable with being abnormal. Yeah. Amen? Being abnormal. We should be wearing a badge. Thank you, Jesus. I'm abnormal. I don't want to go back to normal before I knew the Lord. How about you? I would never. What the world considers normal, I don't want to go back to. I love being abnormal. Amen, amen. So let's continue on verse 28. It says, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. I'm going to go back some of the things I read and bring some points out. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and was pondering what kind of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So my first point is favored one. She was favored by God. Did you know today that if you know the Lord, if he's your Savior, did you know you're a favored one as well? Amen. Do you realize that? If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you are a favored one of God. His picture, all of our pictures are on God's mantle. Amen. We are all the apple of his eye. That's a true statement, saints. You are a favored one this morning because of what God accomplished by his son, Jesus. You and I also have this standing. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Do you believe in miracles this morning? Because it's a miracle that we can say that, not with pride, but with confidence. Lord, you're with me. That I can point to my brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, favored one, the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter, let me have a couple of scriptures. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 and 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to who? To you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has granted to who? Us. Everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these he has granted to us, say us, his precious and magnificent promises. Amen. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. A divine nature? We're going to talk about that. A divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of its lust. Let me ask you, have you escaped the corruption that is in this world? Or the corruption that's trying to come upon this nation? You know, I was thinking of that, and I know that I take a chance of offending people, but if I offend you, I'm doing it in love. Because there's right and wrong. Jesus said, I said it over, grace and truth. I say this with love. You know, we have this, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. You know, the Respect for Marriage Act is actually, I would call it the Disrespect for Marriage Act. Right? You know, he made him in the beginning man and woman. He's the one that created marriage. So we have something that's coming in like a tidal wave against this nation to say, no, that's not true. To say that the Word of God is not true. that what the Word of God is standing up for and declaring is not true. There's a tidal wave, but aren't you glad when the enemy comes in like a flood that he raises a standard? Hallelujah. The Spirit of God through truth is what raises a standard. It's just not the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God with truth. Amen? Amen? You know, this Respect for Marriage Act with the LGBTQIA. Let me just say this. God loves them. You know, everybody is born needing a Savior. Everybody's born in sin. I don't care what your struggle is. God can set you free. God loves you. It's much of what goes on in our lifestyles that brings depression, that brings hopelessness. But when Jesus sets you free, amen, when you're born again and Jesus sets you free, we all need a Savior. But we got to stand up for truth. You know, countries like Russia and China are saying, really, is this what morality looks like, America? You know, his mercy and grace sets the captive free. Do you realize that? It sets the captive free. We live in a day and age where morality offends people. If I talk about morality, it offends people. So this is the two options there. Either an individual is not born again, or their mind has not been renewed. It's been brainwashed by society. They'll stand up and say, no, this is true. No, that I don't care what that says. That's no longer the case. But this is what's true now. They'll say, they stand up and say, this is what's right. No, that's false. Amen. There's still, Jesus says that Moses brought the law. Jesus brought grace and truth. Amen. So he still sets the captive free. But we live in a day and age where righteousness and morality offends many. Are you one of those that it offends? Ask your heart that. The good thing is, if it does, just be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I pray that my mind would be renewed by the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. That if there's a bondage there, that you would set me free in Jesus' name. Amen. He loves you and I. So when we talk about these things, we're not saying he doesn't love people. We're saying, on the contrary, he died for them as much as he died for you and I. And he's looking for people that will repent and give their life to the Lord and be a beacon and a light of truth in a dark age. Amen? Oh, how he loves for you and I. When people say, I'm born this way, I get it. We were all born in sin. All of us were born with a sinful nature. All of us are born needing a Savior. If that's not the case, then why did Jesus die for our sins? If there's no right or wrong, why did he die? If it doesn't matter what you believe or what you do, what's the purpose of Jesus dying? It means you wouldn't need it. We could just have a scale. We could just live under the old covenant. But no, because Jesus said that when I would die, that I would place my spirit and my law would be on the inside of you, declaring truth. Hallelujah. We serve a good, good Father. There's coming a time where me or somebody from the pulpit could be in trouble for talking this way. Did you know that? That's okay. And how that happens is when people don't preach the truth. When righteousness becomes, when we shut our mouths, we become afraid or ashamed. But if we'll speak the truth in love, that's how people come out of darkness. God touches, we speak the truth. Yeah, you may be struggling with this, but he died for you. You can come out of that. You can repent of that. Oh, how he loves you and I. Amen. Psalms 84 and 11, I love Psalms 84, 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. Grace and glory. Can you say grace and glory?
Grace and glory.
He withholds no good things for those who walk with integrity. And the way we walk with integrity, amen, is Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He makes the Word of God alive to you and I. Amen and amen. Let's continue. Verse 31, it says, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So it's right here revealed to Mary that his name would not remain Emmanuel. We know from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, it said his name would be Emmanuel. But the angel says to what? To Mary, no, his name will not be Emmanuel or the Most High or any other name, but his name shall be Jesus. So out of the lips of a being, of Gabriel, into the atmosphere on earth, it says his name shall be Jesus. Amen. And so point number two is Jesus, you know this, the name above all names. See, the world loves to mock the name of Jesus. Have you heard people mocking Jesus? It's a cuss word. It's used to mock the creator of the world. Satan's goal is to have the name of Jesus as common as any other name. But his name is not common. His name is above all names. Amen? Philippians 2, 8 and 11 through 11. Philippians 2, 8 through 11. Amen and amen. Isn't it good to see young people? Amen, that love the Lord. When we were with my son last night because he got engaged, and we were in the Valley of the Sun, and amen. But it was just awesome to see young people in their teens or early 20s that are just on fire for God, that love Jesus. Did you know that's the catalyst for a move of God? It really is. It has to be with our young people. It has to be with our young people. A young people walking in grace and truth. And being found in appearance as man. We're talking about Jesus' name. And being in appearance, found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, Jesus did, by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. For this reason, also God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Giving him a name. So Gabriel said, his name shall be Jesus. Even Mary didn't realize how powerful that name would become. Not only is it the name that's above every name, but at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, but it's also the name that drives out sickness. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be set free. It drives out bondage. There's only one name that can heal, and there's only one name that can drive out bondage, and that name is Jesus. Amen? That's the name above every name. Amen? Is the name of Jesus precious in your sight this morning? On this Christmas holiday, as friends and family get together, it is fun. But it was at that time that Gabriel said for the first time, his name will be called Jesus. And his name will change the world forever. His name would change heaven forever. Amen and amen and amen. John 14, 13 and 14. John 14. And this is what Jesus said to him. Whatever you ask in my name. And whose name? Jesus' name. This will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Reminder, do you pray in Jesus' name? Yes. Amen. I pray in Jesus' name because Jesus said, hey, from now on, my name, he's saying, this is how powerful, this is how much authority, my name. Anything you ask, ask in my name. Amen. When I'm asking for wisdom, I say, Father, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for wisdom in this area of my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for blessing my place of work. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for blessing my business and giving me wisdom and strength in my employment or business. I pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for blessing and touching and healing my marriage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, thank you for blessing my finances and giving me wisdom in my finances. And I pray this in Jesus' name. The power of Jesus' name for you and I in this day, in this age. Doesn't matter the world, Satan tries to dilute and make the name of Jesus common. But it is no common name. Amen? That is no common name. Isaiah 64, 6 and 8. Or before that, I want to say there's no power in the name of Allah. There's no power in the name of Allah. There's no power in the name of just saying Jehovah, God's name. There's no power in just saying Jehovah. This is the way God set it up. He says, I've given my son a name that is above every name. So I don't pray in the name of Jehovah. No power in the name of God. No power in positive thoughts. No power in just words without Jesus' name. No power in actions or charitable deeds outside of the name of Jesus. Isaiah 64, 6 and 8. Let me move forward on this. This is where we were before Christ. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. I don't care if you don't know Jesus. I don't care how squeaky clean you try to look. It says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Did you hear that, saints? And all of us wither like a leaf, and our wrongdoings like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself to take a hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have surrendered us to the power of our wrongdoings. But now, Lord, see, he's talking about Jesus. This is prophesying about Jesus. But now, Lord, you are our Father, Gentile and Jew alike. We are the clay, and you are a potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Amen. All of us sometimes have to come to the end of ourselves. He's talking about right here becoming to the coming to the end of yourself, of you trying to make it, for you trying to measure up, for you trying to make it in this world, whatever it is. We have to come to the end of it and say, so to speak, you ever heard that saying? I cry, uncle, I'll say, uncle, I give up. All of us have to come to a point saying, I give up, and call upon the name of Jesus, who is our righteousness. See, the name of Jesus changed everything. Remember that jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 29? So Paul and Silas are worshiping in the midnight hour. They had been severely beaten for the name of Jesus, by the way. And they're worshiping. And all of a sudden, there's like an earthquake in the jail. And all the doors swing open. And the jailer sees this and says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm a dead man. And so the jailer asked in Acts 16, 29, and the jailer asked for lights. You have that, Bill? Thank you. And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household. The power of the name of Jesus. As they were worshiping, the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? That powerful name. That's still a powerful, that's a name that is still precious and all-powerful today, saints, on this Christmas. As Gabriel said, his name will be Jesus. Mary, once again, could not have imagined what power there would be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The power in the name of Jesus. Setting the captive free. This name of Jesus would change everything. So we have point number one, we're favored ones. Point number two, Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Point three, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How am I going to have a child? Remember we talked, how am I going to have this child? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For this reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And you know, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us when we're born again. Did you know that? John 3:3-6, you know this. It says, Jesus responded and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a person be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus answered, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which has been born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me just say this. Jesus was born of the water and Spirit at the same time. He's in his mother's womb, right? He was born of the water and the Spirit at the same time. He was, you know, God's math is amazing. He was 100% man and yet 100% God. I said he was 100% man, but he was 100% God. So he's in his mom's womb. He's in water. Amen. No contribution from a man, but yet she conceived a child. So he was born of the Spirit and of the water at the same time. Jesus was in the womb of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the seed to produce life in Mary, called Zoe life. You and I are born of the water with the natural seed of man, right? But when you are born again, the seed of God through Christ is placed in your spirit, man, and replaces the dead seed you were born with in the natural. You go from a natural flesh and blood person to a supernatural flesh and blood person. Jesus was born of the water and the Spirit. You and I were just born of the water. And then when we accept Jesus, we become born of the Spirit. Amen. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? How can this be? He didn't understand. So you and I, so this similarity work, Jesus, born of the water and the Spirit. You and I, born of the water. But if you know Jesus Christ now, you are born again. That's a miracle, my friend. How can you be born again? Even Nicodemus said, how can this be? But it's a miracle by the seed of the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, 22-25. Are you still with me out there? Amen. You love the Lord this morning? 1 Peter 1:22 says, but for you have been born again. See, I didn't say it right. And it wasn't just John chapter 3, right? Here's a confirmation from Apostle Peter saying, for you have been born again. He's talking to saints. Anybody out there been born again? For you have been born again, not a seed which is perishable. Saints, when you were born with seed that was perishable. You were born with no hope of eternal life. But when you're born again, the seed of God in your spirit, man, comes alive. And it's imperishable. Let's continue to read. It says, for you have been born again, not a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. The power of the gospel, like seed, is amazing. You receive Christ as your Savior and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. I believe you're God. Come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And you become born again. That's an absolute miracle. How can it be? Nicodemus said, how can this be? He's a great teacher of Israel at that time, but he couldn't figure it out. He said, how am I going to be born again? Look at me. I'm a full-grown man. How is that going to work? But Jesus was talking spiritually, that you and I would be born again. Let me just say that when you were born in the natural, you have DNA, right? You look like your mom or your dad, so you have natural DNA. When you're born again, you have the seed of God in you, and you're given spiritual DNA with giftings and abilities and talents and things that God placed within you because you're born again. Amen. You have new DNA within you. So God has placed his DNA in you. And no telling what that is. As you grow in the Lord, that's what you know, what DNA has been placed in you. Just like a child that's born, you can see them, but you don't know the abilities and talents and the natural DNA that's been placed in them naturally. You can't see that until they grow up. It's the same thing in Christ. As you grow in him, the DNA of God that's placed in you will come forth, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know it was in there. It's been there all along. But as you grow in him, the DNA, the purposes of God that he's placed in you will come forth. His abilities, his talents, his calling, his giftings, his purposes will come out as we grow in him. You don't see it when you're a child in God. Just like you don't see it in the natural, you don't see it in the supernatural. But as you grow in him, you begin to see it. It's a bummer that in the spiritual, maybe a lot of people never grow into God. They get stuck in the past. Or they get stuck at just seeing and looking at the world and being happy with the DNA they've been given in the natural, never realizing that the DNA that they've been in the spiritual is a whole new world because you've been born again. Oh, that we would not miss out on the DNA and growing into him to what God has for us. I love it. Doesn't matter what age you are, if you're young, a teenager, hallelujah, or you're in your 80s, you still have spiritual DNA in you that can come to the surface. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Imperishable, born not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living, enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. Mankind comes and goes, amen? Mankind in himself, in the natural DNA, comes and goes. But the spiritual, the DNA that God gave you, that is spiritual in your inner being, in your spirit, man, is forever. Because verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. You were born again by the word of the Lord. Amen. Someone preached a message. Your mom, your dad, a pastor, a friend, somebody on the radio or TV. You heard a message. You said, I believe that. And accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, not realizing that you were born again right then and there. You became a supernatural being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With a whole new strand of DNA. Let's continue. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we got any therefores in here? We got any ones in here? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. See, we're talking about this born-again experience, this incorruptible seed that the born-again person has. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Do you know you're a new creation when you come into Christ? A new creation. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things have become new. Now, all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Aren't you glad that you are a new creation in Christ? It's just a reminder that it only happens when you're born again. People will make fun of, hey, are you one of those born-again Christians? Well, absolutely I am. It's no doubt. He's not an addition to my life. He's not a set of ideas. He doesn't help me to whatever, make my life easier. No, I've given him my life, and I have been born again. There is only life in him by being born again. Incorruptible seed. Alive forevermore. Never to die, huh, Richie? Never to die. I may close my eyes, but I'm with him instantly. And then someday he said, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then us who remain will be caught up in the air forever to be with the Lord. Amen. When you're born again, you go from a dead person. I was thinking about Jesus. Jesus had somebody walk up to him and said, hey, my brother will not split our inheritance with me. Would you talk to him? And Jesus responded this way, let the dead bury the dead. Wow. People walking around that need to know the love of the Lord, but they're dead. Did you know that? Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. People who are trying to make their way in life, trying to figure it out, but without being born again, your only hope, the only thing you have is here on earth. And our life is but like a vapor, here and gone. As I've grown older and, you know, gone through my prime here, boy, the years start going by like that. The older you get. Remember when you're young, you're like, man, am I ever going to get a driver's license? Then you get older and you start saying, man, are they going to take my driver's license? I'm just kidding. Mostly. Isn't that a true statement, though? Hey, I had a grandmother basically she drove till she was 90. So that's pretty long time. Amen. Last point. Don't you love hearing those babies? Amen. Amen. Point three was the Holy Spirit will come upon you, born again. Point four, these were things that Gabriel said to Mary, that really are similar or apply to our lives today. Fourth one is, nothing is impossible. Remember, we read it, but verse 36, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself has conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the Lord's bondservant, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She still didn't quite understand it, but she believed what was told to her. Amen. He said, be according to what you say, may it be done. Think of that scripture. You know those scriptures like Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So what's the key to seeing this impossible? It's faith, right? All things are possible with God. Well, what's the other ingredient? It's faith, right? Faith. Faith. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. It says, the apostles talking to Jesus said to the Lord, increase our faith. But the Lord said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's tiny. But Jesus says it grows up to be a big tree, and then the birds and different things come and land on its branches and find rest. So this thing is believing. For nothing will be impossible with God. So what moves God's heart is our faith. You know, you and I on this Christmas season, just a reminder, we're born again by trust and faith in Jesus. It's the same thing as Mary. Mary had to believe. Nobody had ever had a baby without two people involved. You know what I'm trying to say here? It never had happened before. And she sees Gabriel, and she just said, and she's probably a teenage girl. They think maybe she's 16 or 17. We have a priest who's older, who loves the Lord. It says he loves him, who says, I need another sign. And we have Mary, who just believes and say, let it happen according to what you said. So to be born again, to be born again, to be changed is by faith. It's believing the Word of God in the Bible. Amen. The Word of God is still what changes our lives. The Word of God is still what brings direction in our life. It's still what brings joy and strength by the Holy Spirit. I keep saying that because we live in a day and age that is constantly pressuring like a wet blanket, trying to promote everything that's anti-Bible, everything anti-God, everything anti-truth. So we have to blast it. We have to say, Lord, I will stand by the truth of your word of God. He is the Ancient of Days. He was from beginning until the end. He exists. Amen. And so there's still truth out there. So I have to say, Lord, I'm standing by faith. Think about it. If you are radical enough to believe you are born again and have the incorruptible seed of God living in you, and you believe you have the Holy Spirit living in you, what can you accomplish? That's radical. If you think about it, that's radical stating, I've been born again. See, that's a miracle. That's supernatural. That is along that same line of when Gabriel came to Mary and said, hey, you're gonna give birth to a child. How radical is it for you and I to stand here to say, I've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. She believes that. And there's a visitation. Mary visits Elizabeth. Verse 39. We didn't read this. Now at this time, Mary set out and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out. This is what it says. She cried out. She didn't whisper. She didn't say it in a regular tone. It says she cried out. So she said she cried out. And she cried out with a voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. The joy of the Holy Spirit. My last thing is, when you dare to believe God, the joy of the Holy Spirit is that fruit. See, Zechariah, he got better, right? He was able to speak again. I'm sure he repented, amen? Mary stood upon what she was told. And since she believed with faith, what was the fruit of that? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. One of the greatest fruits of believing the truth, walking with Christ, is the fruit of the joy of the Lord. If anything, we need this in this day and age, even in the midst of everything that you and I could be going through in our lives, our families, this country, your job, whatever. One of the things about believing, I've learned, and trusting in the Lord, is the joy of the Lord. Amen. Sometimes just having somebody lay hands on you for the joy of the Lord, that's not the answer. It starts back if I'm born again. I had the seed of him in me. And then it was saying, Lord, I want, show me truth. I want to walk in truth. I don't want to walk in lies. If there's anything in my life that's a lie, wash that. Fill me with the joy of the Lord. So the wonderful thing is believing, trusting him. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She leaped. She worshiped the Lord. How about you? Are you born again this morning? Do you believe Jesus is the name above all names? So we had Zechariah. We had what Mary, her interaction with the angel. The next week we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. Amen. But those things that went on as the worship team comes, those things that went on before Jesus ever was born. Mary, her interaction was things that are interactions in our lives. Amen? Amen. Favored one. Are you a favored one this morning? Yes. Do you believe that? If you know him, are you waiting for your life to be free of any struggles? Good luck on that. But it's by faith we say, Lord, thank you for your favor on my life. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I belong to you, Lord. Amen. Knowing that you're a favored one. Mary was called favored. By the scriptures we read that you're a favored one as well. Amen. Number one. Number two, Jesus, the name above all names. Making sure when we're praying, realizing the power of the name of Jesus. I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, here. But are you remembering to pray in Jesus' name? Are you remembering the authority that you have in Jesus' name? Amen? Do you realize you have the Holy Spirit in you being born again? We talked about you have new spiritual DNA within you. A whole new person in you. And as you renew your mind with the Word of God, amen? And you grow in him, you all these new abilities and graces that God has given you start to come forth. Things that you don't even know about as you continue to walk with him, as you continue to trust in him, as you continue to call in his name, as you continue to say, as I heard one pastor say, if I'm going to doubt anything, I'm going to doubt my doubt. I'm going to doubt my doubt. Because I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. Saints, life is short. Life is short, amen. His spirit living in us, being born again. Saying, Lord, I'm going to, that which you placed in me, Lord, is going to come forth. The way it comes forth is desires, new desires. Desires that are different than the desires of the flesh. The desires of the spirit, because you're born again. And they come forth, and all of a sudden a desire comes in your heart. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, says, pursue that. Do that. That's part of your new DNA. That's who you are. The Holy Spirit leads and directs us. The Holy Spirit is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our wisdom. He's our deliverer. I don't care what you accomplish in this world. If you're not born again, it will end up accomplishing nothing. But when you're born again and give your life to him, then you accomplish things that go on for eternity, that you take with you eternally. Amen. That's why I love it. It doesn't matter who your mom is, your dad is, your background. It doesn't matter if you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Man, his DNA in you, that's what matters. Amen. Hallelujah. And then number four, nothing's impossible. Because of that name, Jesus saying, if you just have the mustard seed, faith the size of mustard seed, nothing will be impossible. Dare to believe him. Saints, dare to believe him for the impossible. I'm telling you, we're supernatural beings. He loves us. He dares us to believe for the impossible. For family, for purpose, for this nation, for whatever God places upon your heart. Dare to believe regardless of the past. Let the past be the past. Say, Lord Jesus, today's a new beginning. Today's are new. His mercies are new every morning. I belong to him. Amen. He belongs to me. Nothing will be impossible. Can you stand up with me this morning? I feel like the Holy Spirit's just, in his gentle way, just touching hearts. Amen. The enemy will try to convince you, number one, that you're not born again. Saints, you can only be born again one time. You try to be born again twice, three times, that gets messy. You may have struggles. There may be things going on in your life. But you just say, Lord, I belong to you. I'm going to trust you. Let your Holy Spirit speak to me. And the Lord starts opening doors. Starts bringing his joy, his strength, his peace, his direction. Amen. This Christmas, I don't know about you, but this for me, for this Christmas, I'm focusing on the power of the name of Jesus. And Gabriel said, and his name shall be Jesus. Wow. Gabriel didn't even know what that name was going to accomplish. He can't see the future. No longer Emmanuel, no longer any types and shadows in the Old Testament. Now it's all being brought to light. Now you and I, through Jesus, are walking in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one with another. Can we just take a minute and just worship him? Father, we just worship him. As the music's playing, Jesus, maybe say, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. Father, I worship you, I honor you, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, how that born-again spirit, those things I placed within me that are gonna grow. Some people Paul said to Timothy, to fan the flame of the gifts of God in your life. Father, I thank you right now for supernatural DNA in every individual here right now, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord, for coming alive in Jesus' name. I thank you there'll be things that people will accomplish here they never dreamt of, because it's not who they are in the natural, it's who they are in the supernatural, and that comes forward by faith and trust of him in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you for just opening up our hearts, Father God, open up our minds to the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you, Father, for breaking forth out of that veil of the flesh, Lord. We keep trapped in what we can accomplish in the natural. We keep trapped according to what we think we know or don't know in the natural, in our mind, in our intellect, or in our soul realm. But the Holy Spirit says that in the spiritual realm, that comes out of that, that comes, that pierces through that veil of flesh, and it accomplishes powerful things in the spirit man. Amen. There's things that God wants to accomplish through us that will not happen according to your intellect, like I said, or your ability, because that's the DNA of a man that won't inherit the kingdom of God. But you have natural, you have supernatural DNA for purpose that will inherit the kingdom of God. It will make a difference forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Supernatural beings doing supernatural things in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, accept him. Say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. I want to pray with you up after the service. Please come up to me. I would love to pray for you to give your life to Christ.
Amen.
It's the only way to walk in true joy. Look at where we're at in this world today. Everything is shifting sand. None of it is a foundation. Only Jesus. He is the rock. He is our salvation. It's going to take supernatural beings to stand up in this day and age. Supernatural beings to stand up in this day and age. Where it'll be people that'll lead the government, not the government leading the people. It'll be born again people leading the government. And the truth, it has to be that way, saints. It cannot be any other way. It has to be the supernatural to lead our country out of this mess. How many believe in the supernatural? So, Father, we love you. We bless you today. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this Christmas season. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to close in a song. Do you love him this morning? Aren't you glad to be a supernatural being? Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you this week.